Hello, and welcome to episode 45 of the Hollywood Knitter Podcast. My name is Allison, and I'll be your host. I'm recording on Saturday, May 10th, 2014, from my home in Silver Lake in Los Angeles, California. In today's episode, we have some applause in the can, now playing, coming attractions, a bit of gossip, press junket, and production notes. Hello, everybody. How is everyone doing? I'm really excited this weekend. I'm home alone, like totally alone. No boyfriend, no roommate. They're both out of town. And that rarely happens. And do you know what that means? It's a weekend of me, which means lots of knitting, lots of lazing in the sun, and maybe a few errands. We'll see. But one of my things I wanted to do, because it's been too long, as usual, is podcast. So I'm setting this time aside in my weekend of me to give a little to you guys. I hope everyone has been awesome and that everyone is just enjoying life. Let's get started, shall we? Applause. First up, want to say a special hello to the two wonderful people who introduced themselves in the new member thread on the Ravelry group for the Hollywood Knitter podcast. And that would be SJ Manatee, who's Shelley from Northampton, Mass., who is a smart person and travels to warmer climates in the winter. As would I if I lived in Massachusetts, especially out there where you guys had a brutal winter. Also, hello to Lindsay Adelaide Oz, who's Lindsay in Australia. And Lindsay, don't drop that new iPod. Next up, I'd like to thank whoever took the time to leave a new star rating for me on iTunes. That is wonderful. Again, just a reminder, if you like any of your podcasts, go ahead and leave a star rating or review if you have the time. It's just a wonderful pick-me-up and hello, and it just helps us keep going. You know, when we go in there and we see, wow, people listen, people like us. So I highly recommend, if you have the time, going to do that. And finally, a contest winner for the April Hodgepodge contest. And this was for just a random sampling of things out of my gift bag. And that included a sample of Wolf Farm soap and lotion, a skein of Cascade Longwood, which is 100% superwash wool in a beigey brown that I got at Stitches West as a prize, and the Fickle Knitter 3-pattern collection, which are projects using 525 yards or less, a cowl, a hood, and a shawl scarf. And all I asked was for you to leave a comment in a thread telling me about your favorite flower or plant. And the winner was number 26, Alexa Ferg 26, who loves stargazer lilies and put a most gorgeous picture up there. It was gorgeous. And just so you know, my favorite flower is probably lilacs. I had bushes outside my house growing up when I was a kid, and I just love the look of them, the smell of them. They're my favorite. In the can. This episode, I have two FOs to talk about. First up was Mother Bear number 10 is in the can. And this is the second of my six bears I have goals to complete for the Cognitive Fiber Retreat. So I'm on target with finishing one a month before the retreat. And this was a boy bear, and I crocheted it in the round like I do my last one. And it was leftover Lion Brand Fisherman wool, and then I think I used some Malabrigo Pashmina I had left over from a hat for blue pants, and then the top was like two yarns held together, some hand spun I got from somewhere, and some leftover yarn I couldn't even remember what it was from, but I had it in my kind of remnants. Another one in the can, and I was pretty happy. Oh, next up I have a third project I totally forgot. I finished my orange latte socks, and these were socks that I knit for the Zombie Apocalypse knit along. And I knit them from March 22nd through April 20th. So they took me about a month, and I knit them on my usual US 1.5 millimeter Chowgu needles. And I did them Toep Magic Loop, and I loosely base this pattern on the Vanilla Latte Socks by Virginia Rose Eames, who is one of the designers who will be at the Zombie Apocalypse. I use yarn from a vendor who will be there. So I use Dancing Dog Dye Works Twist Sock and Ginger Stripes. And this was a birthday gift from my friend. And I also use a Fish Lips Heel. So that designer is also going to be at Zombie Apocalypse. And these are just a orange and gray stripe sock. They just look really cool. I like the Vanilla Latte Socks. They're basically kind of a broken rib that goes up the sock. And the Fish Lips Heel turned out perfectly. Like, the colors were exact for the heel. It was like half orange, half gray, and the stripe pattern kept going seamlessly. So that was really nice, and I'm happy with them. They're a great addition for my socks, and every time I wear them, I'll think about my friend, and I'm going to premiere them at Zombie Apocalypse. I'm not going to wear them until then. The last project I finished is I finally finished my Magic Cake Ruffle Shawl by Paula from Knitting Pipeline. And I started this way back in February, and I just finished it last weekend, so May 2nd. And this was a pretty straightforward shawl, a triangular shawl that you do with a magic cake. And this is a ball you create from, well, what I created from leftovers from my various sock yarn projects or other fingering weight projects. And you put them all together with a magic knot to tie the different colors together. So you have a seamless skein of yarn. And then you start knitting and it changes colors as you go. For my shawl, totally pleased with it. It's so colorful. I originally thought that maybe I wouldn't like it. Maybe I'd be giving it away as a gift. But when I was done, I was really pleased with the colors. And I think, I don't know if I'll wear this a lot of places, but like, for example, it's perfect for like my hippie music festival. It's perfect for around the house. It's perfect for a few different things. The kind of changes I did is that I alternated solid color yarns with variegated. And when I came to solid color yarns, I did a garter stitch. And when I had variegated, I did stockinette stitch. And then for the edging, I did a garter stitch edging. It came out to a solid color. For my cast off, because shawls have to have a stretchy edge, I initially did like the super stretchy bind off that I use on socks, but it ended up being too undulating, like kind of too wavy. On socks, it doesn't matter because when you put them on, it stretches them out, but a shawl isn't really going to be stretched out. So what I ended up doing is I alternated one of those stitch with just a regular cast off. This worked well enough and created an edge I was happy with. It was pretty straight, pretty firm, but still yielding. And those are the projects I finished. Now playing. I only have two things on the needles right now. I have my Pull Me Over top by Andrea Black, and this is a top-down raglan and a short-sleeve rib shirt that I'm doing from Stash Yarn from Knit Pick Swish and Fired Brick. And I started this the end of March, and I'm really pleased with how it's going. I only had 7 skeins, so I've been knitting down on the body, and I tried it on right after kind of where you finish the neckline, where it's the top of the boobs, and I decided where the seam was hitting, where it was kind of changing, I needed more length. So I did more length before I did my waist stitches, and then I'm at the point now where I've just increased back to my wider hip area, and I actually did some more increases because my waist is much smaller than my hips, and I'm going to finish with the yarn I have. I am a bit concerned it will not be as long as I want with the yarn I have. So what I went ahead and did is I had 2 skeins left. I went ahead and finished the sleeve so that I would know exactly how much yarn I have to finish this project. And I will use the remaining of this yarn to finish it. Sleeves were really easy because they're really short sleeves. So you just kind of do some short rows and cast off. But I had to do them twice. Well, the first sleeve twice, because I have a great tip. If you're knitting in the round and you have an interchangeable set, what I like to do is use the on the right tip, use the right size needle, but I use a smaller tip on the leading edge needle so that when I'm sliding the stitches off, it's a smaller needle and it slides easier, which is awesome. It's a great tip. It becomes less of an awesome tip when you use those same needles to do your sleeves, which are back and forth, and you forget that one needle size is smaller, which is what happened to me on the sleeves. So I knit the whole first sleeve, and then I realized that on basically my knits were US 7s and my purl backs or my knit backs were US 6. And it didn't look that bad, but it was noticeable enough to me that I did not want to keep it. So I ripped it out because it was only like, I don't know, 9-10 rows. And then I was also able to pick back my stitches back up, and there had been a little gap that I hadn't liked, and so I closed that gap. Again, great tip in the round, just don't forget that you did that, like I did. The other thing I learned on this sleeve is German short rows. I had never tried German short rows or even heard of them before until it was mentioned in the pattern, kind of on the side notes, that the author of the pattern liked to do German short rows, but she didn't really specify a method of short rows. So you could use wrap and turn, or I guess whatever one you do. But she said she likes to use German, and if you did that, follow this. So I went to the finder of all information on the interwebs, Google, and I Googled German short row, and I came up with a tutorial that had been uploaded as a pattern kind of thing on Ravelry by Vivian Hsu, spelled H-S-U. And basically, this is a really easy short row method, and I really like it. You basically knit to where you're going to turn, and slip a stitch from your left needle to your right needle. So now your working is on the right side. And then instead of wrapping or turning, you basically just pull the yarn up and over so you elongate that stitch. So instead of the top of the stitch on the needle, it now has like both of its legs on the needle. So it looks like two stitches. And then you continue knitting back the other way. And then you go back and forth. And when you come to these, you just knit them together, these two legs. It was really easy. And I'll put a link to where I found it and how easy it was. And so I ended up using that for the short rows of my sleeves. And I was really pleased with it. It was really easy. Much less fiddly to me than wrap and turn or some of the other ones. So I might be using this as a short row method in the future. And if you're looking for a kind of unfussy one, I'd recommend checking out German short rows. As I said, I got about a skein and a half left, so however many yards that is. I'm hoping to finish it this weekend. We'll see. It's pretty mindless knitting, and so I'm going to break out some movies and TV soon, and I'm hoping to bang it out and be done and have a new top for the summer. The second project I'm working on at work primarily are what I'm calling my moonshine socks. And this is a sock pattern totally improvised by myself. Never really done that before beyond like vanilla socks or stockinette, but I decided I wanted to knit socks for a friend. She's on my list as knitworthy. And I decided to do a pair of socks for her because I always thought her feet were a lot smaller than mine, but she says she's a size 9. I'm a size 10. But she's like 6 inches shorter than me, so she must just have long, skinny feet. And I know she does because I saw her recently and I stared at her feet, though I don't think she realized. I decided to make her a pair of socks. And I'm using some sock yarn from my stash from a discontinued company. It's Moonshine Fiber Company, and this is the Everclear base and their Emerald City colorway, which are greens and yellow and blues on like a... with natural color. It really is poppy and really nice. I picked it up at SSK 2012 when they were vending there. My pattern is traveling stitches. And basically what I did is I took the top of the foot and I put traveling stitches on the ends, traveling inward, and in the middle, traveling outward. So as they travel, and I do them every row, they meet at a point. And so I have like a triangle, top of a triangle, basically on the bottom of my foot. And then where they met, I did cables, a little 4-stitch cable that I twisted in different directions. And then after I did those four, I had it again travel out from that cable to the edge of the sock and then come back in. And that was what I just kind of made up on the fly at work. It looks really nice, actually. I'm pretty pleased with it. I've actually finished the first sock, and I was a little worried about it because I was fine. It fit my foot a little stretchy until kind of the end, and now it won't go over my instep, which is fine because I have a really high instep. And as I said, I think her foot is a lot narrower, which is why I did this on 64 stitches instead of my normal 68 stitches. I also think it was a little tighter on the top is because on the top, I continue the pattern on both sides, the front and back, versus when you're doing the foot, because I do these toe up, one of the sides is stockinette, which has a lot more give. But I'm still hoping they'll fit. If not, I'll find some other person they can fit. Yeah, I didn't mention these are toe up. These are magic loop. These are using my Widdershins inspired heel, which Widdershins is a sock from Nitty from years ago. And I use that heel on a lot of my toe-up socks because it looks like a flat heel, very similar to one. And I'm hoping to finish this off maybe this week. I'll have some knitting time from some overtime and concrete pours that are planned this week. And I definitely want to have it done by Memorial Day, which is when we're going camping, and I want to gift them to her. So yeah, check out my sock, my improvised sock pattern. I'm pretty pleased with it. I don't plan on writing it up. I don't plan on doing anything like that. This is kind of just a design for myself. Coming attractions. So with only two projects on the needles, I'm thinking or forecasting into what I'm going to work on next. I'm definitely casting on or crocheting on. Casting on and crochet for my next mother bear. I already have the colors and the random yarns pulled and they're in a box and with a crochet hook just ready to start. And I will finish that. Finish one in June. It will be my mother bear number 11. And then I think for work, I'm going to start doing some charity hats again. I know SSK is collecting some, and I think Zombie Apocalypse is also collecting some. So I think for the next few months, for the next month or 6 weeks, I'll try to bang out some hats. I actually bought some Karen Simply Soft that I didn't even put in my stash page and all of my yarns in my stash with the intention of doing charity hats. And I don't know what patterns or anything. I'll figure it out when I get to it. But I needed something small and portable, so I actually might take the skein and divide it into half because it's a little big as it is for me to carry around at work on my belt loop. And then I think the next project. Oh, I've been looking forward to my travels and making a list as part of my goals of finding more knit-worthy people in my life to knit for. One of the trips that's come up is a family trip with my going to see my aunt who lives in New Mexico. And she wants us to come out for her birthday. So she wants my grandmother to come out, my mom, my sister, and I. I haven't seen her probably in about a year, maybe longer. And I thought that I would knit them something, both my aunt and my grandmother. Now, I've been casting on for like a good hour before this podcast trying to figure out what to make my aunt. She's very fashion conscious. She doesn't like to wear hats. She does her hair all the time. And I actually went on Facebook and looked at a bunch of pictures of her to see, like, would she wear a hat? Because she does live where it's cold, and she doesn't really. But she does wear scarves or things around her neck, though I don't think a cowl will work because I don't think she would want to mess up her hair or kind of pull it over her head. So I went looking and looking and looking, and then I decided, let me look and see if I have anything in my gift box. And I think the recent Lentilla I did with Martina Bem might be a perfect gift for her. So I'm going to earmark that aside for her. But then I had to think for my grandmother. And again, after, you know, what you do when you look for a pattern and really wanting to use my stash, not buying yarn, I'm using my stash. I came up with the Magrathea by Martina Bem, and I think I'm going to do it in a Madtosh. I haven't totally picked the yarn yet, but I'm thinking one of my skeins of Madtosh, I have a soft gray and I also have kind of a light purplish kind of color. I think it's called Opaline. And I think one of those would work for this kind of semi asymmetrical triangular kind of scarf shawl thing with a knit on edging. And it looks pretty cool. That is what I'm going to cast on as soon as I finish my pullover. And that will be my house project. And then the charity hats will be my work project and Mother Bear will just be in between. Though I might have to do cast on for another pair of socks or something for my music festival I'm going to over Memorial Day. Or maybe charity hats. We'll see. Gossip. Well, a few things I want to talk to you about. One is going to finally see the Muppet movie. Oh, it was so awesome. I went to the El Capitan Theater, which is a theater in Hollywood owned by Disney. And it's an old theater, and they always do wonderful things there. It's not your traditional movie theater. It's an actual theater with like a balcony and a stage. And what they do is they, for every movie they have there, they have some type of stage show that they do beforehand, and then they show the movie. And then they sometimes have props or other things that you can look at after the movie, or games or whatever. Some of their bigger movies, like Toy Stories and things like that, they have like all of these interactive things. So it's not just going to the movies. It's like going to an experience. And I'd been wanting to see the Muppet movies. I'm a big Muppets fan. Big Muppets fan. And we went to the El Capitan, the very last show of the very last night before it ended its run, my boyfriend and I. And there were about maybe 30 or no, it's probably more like 50 people in a theater that could probably hold, oh, 800 to 900 people, maybe even more. And they had a stage show, and the stage show was Miss Piggy and Kermit. Just the two of them, but sat up on the stage and interacted and sang songs. And they sang my favorite songs, Rainbow Connection and Manana Mana. And I was like a little kid bouncing in my seat. It was crazy. Like, I was just so happy. My boyfriend kept laughing at me. And it was interesting because it was like a 7 o'clock show on a Thursday night or something. And there were like way more adults in the theater than there were kids. It just made me happy. I just love the Muppets, and I love that vein of movie. And I'm really happy they started making movies again. And that ties into when I went to WonderCon, which is the comic book convention down in Anaheim. The only thing I bought for myself was a Muppet belt. It was so cool. So they have these belts, and I'd never seen them before. The belts are made from kind of the same material that they use in seatbelts, but then they're embroidered or weaved, or the designs are all these different geekdoms. So they had like Supernatural, and they had, you know, the Muppets, and then they had lots of anime, and they had Pokemon, and they had this, and they had like hundreds of belts that just had all this geeky thing. One of the ones was the Muppets, and it has like all the faces from the classic Muppets, and then it's not your traditional belt buckle, like where it just comes, the fabric comes up and over, and there's like your prong that you stick through a hole. It's like a old style seatbelt with like a release, and it has a little picture of Kermit on it. I'll take a picture and include it in the show notes, but I just love this belt. And initially I wore it like that night and got some compliments on it. And then I came home and I was like, where am I ever going to wear this belt? And then I'm like, you know what? I wear a belt to work every day. I'm going to wear this belt. It makes me happy. And I have had a few of the guys, you know, say nice belt and whatever, but it does. It makes me happy when I wear it. And I look down and I see Kermit and Miss Piggy and Animal on my belt. If you are interested in any kind of geekdom belt, I will link where you can get these are. I'm sure they're going to be making the circuit of all of the cons, but it was really cool. And I very rarely buy stuff at cons anymore. I don't buy that many comic books and things like that, or collectibles. I'm just not a stuff person anymore, but this really made me happy. And the whole con was fun. We saw some previews for some amazing movies. It's not as big as the San Diego Comic-Con at all, which is why I can still go, because you can still get tickets and still walk through and not have to be crazy. But we did sit through the movie panels that were put on by the studios. We saw a few minutes of the X-Men movie that's coming out. It was a really long scene that they included. It was really cool. We saw some other bad movies. The actor we remember is Bill Paxton, because he was there to promote the new Tom Cruise movie, an Emily Blunt movie that's coming out, where basically it's like a science fiction Groundhog Day. He like dies every day and wakes up, but he remembers, and so he gets better. But Bill Paxton's in it, and I love Bill Paxton. He's a great actor, and he's very fun at the cons. The movie that I saw that surprised me, that now I actually really want to see it, and I wouldn't have thought I would, was the new Godzilla movie coming out. The director is such a fan of Godzilla and was so proud of his movie and so enthusiastic about it. And the footage looks really good. Not usually a Godzilla fan, but I think I might check that movie out. It really kind of turned me. So by going and watching it, they got at least one person who wouldn't have seen it to go see it. And then there were some other movies, and I can't remember. Obviously, if I can't remember, they don't really stick in my head. Oh, the new Maze Runner movie was there with some of the guys. Gosh, that director's not impressive. That movie I actually want to see less because of it. Though the author was there on the panel, and that was kind of cool. Anyway, so yeah, I hung out with friends. I went over to the Disneyland, the Tiki Room, and had some drinks and saw some friends do a panel. I have a friend who is a psychologist, and she does a panel where they talk about, it's basically Star Trek versus Star Wars and the psychology of it. So she represents one side, and she has a colleague represent the other, and they talk about the different things in the different worlds, and it's kind of cool. Very geeky. I didn't go to Maryland Sheep and Wool this year, which makes me sad. I had the opportunity, and then I just couldn't swing it last minute. I really, really wished I could have gone. But with work and everything else, it just wasn't good timing, sadly. So I missed Maryland Sheep and Wool this year, and I know I missed my friends. I'm sure they had an awesome time. I know they had an awesome time. But maybe next year. But I did love seeing all of the pictures on Instagram of everyone who posted and took pictures with different things. That kind of made me feel like I was there, and it was kind of cool. I'm deep in my music festival preparation, Lightning in a Bottle. We actually had a meeting with all of my friends, and this is a camping weekend / music festival / spirituality festival / yoga / green. It's definitely your hippie crunchy festival, and it's up north this year, about 4 hours north of Los Angeles. And this will be my fifth year. And it's camping all weekend, so you bring all your stuff and you hang out and do lots of things. And we have a group of friends that's been going every year, and we usually add a few people or subtract people if they can't come, but we plan because we all camp and make a big campsite together. And I am the planner, so I do a lot of it. And then luckily a friend of mine, he is also a planner. So between the two of us, we bring everything. And this year we decided we are bringing everything. They're very big on arrive with your group, don't save spots, blah, blah, blah. But our group is arriving at different times because of work and because of life and because things happen. So we're taking everyone's tents with us, and we're driving our vehicles, which are two of the larger vehicles, full of the stuff, the tables, the coolers, the easy ups, all of the tents. And we're driving up, and we're going to set everything up and then wait for everyone else to get there. That way we can set up the campsite probably the way I like it for flow and things like that, and have everyone's tents up so that there's no argument that we're saving space. Except it opens on Thursday, and I thought we would be driving up Thursday, and we'll be driving separately or whatever, but we'll kind of be following each other. But he doesn't like getting up early in the morning, and I, of course, for work get up early anyways, and so he wants to drive up the night before, stay in a hotel room so that we can be there when gates open at 10 a.m. Kind of accelerated my schedule a bit, but I'm deep in the midst of that. I'm creating a new camp shower that we're going to have, trying to figure out how I'm going to fit everything in my car. I'm bringing easy ups. And every year I try to make it a little better. So this year I got the portable hammock that we're going to set up, a rug I can put in the common area so you don't get dirty, and et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm really excited. I love that. And I get a lot of knitting done, and because I hang around a lot. I go listen to music, and I go listen to talks and do yoga. And then I like to hang around at the campsite and have a beer and make friends, and very excited to be going over that for Memorial Day. Other thing I did is we're deep in spring. Might have even skipped spring and gone to summer, because this week it's going to be in the hundreds here in LA, which is way hotter than it should be. I decided it was time to go ahead and switch my winter to spring summer wardrobes. And as part of that, I did a blocking party. So I went ahead and took my sweaters and I washed them all. And I'm missing a sweater. I don't know where it is. I really want to find it. I still don't know where it is. I'm missing one of my favorite sweaters, the Siesta sweater. I must have it somewhere downstairs in the garage. At least I hope. But the sweaters I had up here, I went ahead and washed and blocked, and I blocked it on a day it was so hot. So I did it up on the back patio. I just took some towels and set it down, and I didn't pin anything out. I just kind of kind of probed it into place where I wanted and then left it to dry. And it was so hot and it's so not humid here. Like, there's no humidity. They dried in like 2.5 hours. Like, these big, thick sweaters. It was crazy. And as a result of doing that and pulling out and trying them on and et cetera, et cetera, I remembered for my Birch Bark, which I finished not that long ago, I really don't like the neckline. It's too loose. I've only worn it the once. And I decided I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to rip out the neckline this weekend and fix it before I forget and put it away and then try to wear it and don't like it. It's just a garter stitch neck, kind of pick up stitches and do it, but it's too loose and wavy. So I need to cut back. I need to rip it out and do less stitches. So that's on the agenda for this weekend also as part of my knitting extravaganza with just me. I think that's enough gossip for now. I don't really think, besides the boyfriend being out of town at a concert in Colorado, and my roommate went on a solo camping trip to the Grand Canyon in Zion, and she's having a good time, and I'm home with the cats. Press junket. Where will I be? Where will I be? Well, I talked enough about Lightning in a Bottle, and that's the festival at Lake San Antonio and over Memorial Day weekend, and if anyone's going, hit me up. I'd totally love to meet another knitter. I just added a weekend away in Arizona. I have a coworker. He owns a house out in Parker, Arizona, which is on the river out there. And he invited us to go to Tube Float, which is, I guess, an event where everyone gets a float and they float like 6 or 7 miles down the river. And there's like no boats that day and all this other stuff. So there's a few of us that are going to go out and do that. And that's like the beginning of June. So that will be interesting. He says it's really hot. So I don't know how much knitting I'll do if it's 100 degrees, but it should be interesting and fun. Then Zombie and Apocalypse is coming up fast, and that's in Minnesota in June. And then right after that, just a month, I'm going to SSK in Tennessee, and then Camp Cognitive the weekend after that. All awesome, awesome things. And then it's the big family trip, and I will be heading to Rhode Island and then up to the house I rented in New Hampshire. And then, like, the very beginning of September is when my aunts requested that we all go to New Mexico. So my summer is pretty full. And in between there, I'm going to try to do, like, probably a weekend trip away with my boyfriend somewhere local. So maybe San Diego, maybe Big Bear. I'm pretty full up this whole summer, which is awesome. I'm doing it the kind of way I like. I like trips every 2 weeks or so. Need to alternate with weekends at home to get stuff done. But if you happen to be, I know knitters are going to some of the knitting events. So say hi if you listen. If you're a listener, definitely come say hello and say, hey, I listen. It always freaks me out a little, but I also love to meet you. Production notes. New contests. That is the first thing. I'm going to be opening 2 new contests. One I'm calling Zombies Rule, and one I'm calling SSK Awesomeness. And basically, these are going to be pretty similar to my recent Stitches West contest, in that I want you to leave a comment in the thread with the favorite vendor of who's going to be at these separate events. And then I'm going to purchase at these events prizes that I'll give away, as influenced by all of you guys and who you want to get. And there will be some crossover. I know that there's some vendors at both events. And that just increases your chance to win it, though. That's what I think. I don't know how many I'll buy, you know, whatever. At least 2, probably less than 10. So your chances could be really good. I'm going to have the Zombies Rule contest open until June 22nd, which is the last day of the Stockinette Zombies, and SSK Awesomeness until July 20th, which is also the last day. And I will give those out shortly after whatever podcast I have after those dates. So yeah, so just go. I will have links in the threads to the vendors who will be at the different events. And just tell me who your favorite is, or who you think I should buy from, or what would you like to get, or who do you think I should support. All about the indies. And I think that's enough babbling for me today. Feel like I've been talking a little fast today, a little babbly. Just one of those days, I guess. Probably because I'm talking to myself and I'm by myself and I'm talking to my cats and you. Show notes and podcasts can be found at www.hollywoodknitter.com. You can find me as Allison1031 on Ravelry, Twitter, and Instagram. And please check out and join the Ravelry group, the Hollywood Knitter podcast. We are closing in on 400 members. And when I get there, there'll be another prize. And I promise it will be cool. In the meantime, that's a wrap from Hollywood, where fantasy meets fiber and dreams are knit.